AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. A dreary weather weekend for some 12 million people across the nation, especially those along the Gulf Coast and places like Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where snow is expected. Kelly Cass has more from the Weather Channel.
Another day of storms and really heavy downpours in the Sunshine State. Not the best news, especially if you're planning a beach weekend here in Florida, with damaging winds over 60 miles an hour, lots of frequent lightning. And oh, by the way, we've seen a lot of hail with storms recently here in the Sunshine State and along the Gulf Coast.
Law enforcement in the town of Cleveland, Texas, is telling people to stay in their homes while they search for the suspect in the killing of five people, including a child. The alleged shooter is already charged with five counts of murder. Police say neighbors asked the man to stop firing his rifle in his yard so they could sleep. This woman lives nearby.
When I heard the shooting, we were in bed, and my kids, I have two babies, they got scared. But we're like, well, that's normal. They're always shooting.
The Army is pausing flights for more training after three deadly helicopter crashes. CBS's Mara Rubin reports.
The stand down was ordered after two Apaches crashed Thursday in Alaska, killing three soldiers. It's the Army's third fatal helicopter crash this year, all of them during routine training. And during the stand down, the Army will review the risk management process and the aviation maintenance training program.
Pope Francis is in Hungary speaking with young people.
An enthusiastic crowd of over 10,000 young people met with Pope Francis in Budapest Sports Arena on Saturday. In an atmosphere more resembling a festival than a religious event, an animated Pope Francis told the young people to aim high in life, not to be lazy couch potatoes, but to be active and authentic people who serve others. He warned them not to isolate themselves on their devices, saying, "Life is real, not virtual, and it doesn't happen on a screen, but in the world." Anna Matranga, CBS News, Budapest.
Hundreds of Americans fleeing Sudan.
Sudan was just taking its first steps to democracy in the past few years. Now we're witnessing a meltdown in civil society. And that is why Americans, Brits, Japanese, Germans, French, Chinese, and Sudanese with dual nationalities are all trying to evacuate anyone who has the means. But there are countless more who are still stuck in Sudan who want to flee but unable to escape. Ramey Innocencio, CBS News, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
There's very little water or electricity there, and people are terrified. Saudi Arabia helped more than 1,800 civilians to flee. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
At the United States Postal Service, we're reinventing our network to help keep your business moving. With new shipping options to deliver better value, greater flexibility to conveniently reach your customers, more confident shipping with new informed delivery features, and new electric vehicles for a cleaner, brighter future. Fast, reliable, perfectly orchestrated. The United States Postal Service, delivering for America. Learn more at usps.com/movingforward.
I studied Spanish in college and never got fluent, but then I tried Babbel.
Want the most effective way to learn another language? In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel's bite-sized lessons will have you learning another language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel gets you speaking quickly about things you actually talk about in the real world.
University studies have shown that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a semester of college Spanish. If you want to learn a new language, there's no better way than Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try Babbel for free. That's Babbel.com.
Improve visibility and save $8 instantly when you pick up a pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bosch Icon Premium Blades can help you see better and drive safer. And our professional parts people will install them for you for free. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. but MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Rain likely early, then becoming mixed precipitation tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 33, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. A mixture of precipitation likely tomorrow, highs around 41, overcast. Lows dip down to about 34, tomorrow night, chance for mixed precipitation. About an inch of snow tonight through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Attorney Fred Gordon, and former alderman in the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're talking about, you know, it's Black History Month, so I reached out to Fred because, you know, some things that happened in the city of Milwaukee that I think that many people in this listening audience would be amazed to find out, you know, and so we're going to be doing that throughout this month, bringing people like Fred Gordon on to talk about the history of this state and Black people in it. And before we go back, Fred, you know, what we want people to understand too is back during those times, we kind of had our own Bull Connor, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Harold Breyer and that police
Harold
department.
Harold Breyer was the chief of police, and he ran a very tight ship, as they used to say back in the day, in the sense that you had a small number of African Americans, and I don't think they had any Latin people on the force during that time. And he ran the city. I remember vividly during those times when the mayor, Henry Meyer, said emphatically that there's nothing that I can do to stop Harold Breyer from doing what he does.
Right.
And, you know, that was an admission that was very shocking at the time. And essentially, he ruled the city, and certainly the segregation that was pronounced at that time was due in large part to the control that the police exercised over the African-American community, and in many communities still existing here at this point in time in America.
Yeah, so let's go back to the open housing and the fact that, you know, schools, the schools that were created to address this, the segregation in the schools.
Yes, well, what happened, Earl, is, as you may recall as well, is that from 1965 to 1967, there was a lot of activism. There were marches, there were boycotts, there were sit-ins. The NAACP, and more importantly, the NAACP Youth Council, spearheaded what was, as I indicated earlier, called direct action. Instead of just complaining about it and crying about it, the determination was to get into the streets, to march. We were taking our cues from what we saw happening in other cities around the country, particularly in the South. Dr. King came to Milwaukee in during that period of time.
Several times.
Yes. Dick Gregory was very much involved in helping to publicize what was going on and certainly marched with us. You know, I was like 13, 14, 15 years old. And the youth council at that time was spearheaded by Father James Grappi. And, you know, as you know, during that period, there was a coalition of activists, black and white, who were working together to bring attention, you know, to these segregated situations in America. And the Catholic Church was very much involved at that time in leading that. Father Grappi, as we called him, marched with us, organized, and spearheaded the resistance to the laws that were being perpetrated upon the African-American community, and the fact that, for the most part, all black people lived in one area of the city. And that's why the open housing, the fair housing laws that were being put forth by then Alderwoman Bill Phillips and others were contentious, because essentially they wanted to keep black folks in our place. And as long as we stayed in our place and did what we were told, then we wouldn't have any problems. But obviously that wasn't the case. So in 1966, I recall vividly, the marches had started to ramp up. And, you know, I was a kid. I got involved because the NAACP Youth Council of Freedom House was right behind where I used to live. And I spent a lot of time over there and got involved and got to marching. That's where my political consciousness began. And, you know, as a teenager, you know, I was reading James Baldwin and, you know, Dr. King's speeches, and all kinds of activity were going on. So the marches across the 6th Street Viaduct was the first time that I had ever marched. You know,
Fred,
in a civil rights march.
I know, but so Fred, before we get to the viaduct, what people need to understand is the viaduct was like a dividing line.
Yes.
White.
Yes, the viaduct was.
Go ahead.
The viaducts, and there was more than one too. The viaduct separated, you know, the black community from the white community. It separated the north side, where most black folks live, from the south side, where most white folks live during that period of time.
Right.
So no black people ever crossed the viaduct unless they were going to work or, you know, had some business over there, and very few black folks had business on the south side. So as a result, the viaduct was the dividing line. So to march across the viaduct was a big deal. And marches were organized and commenced, and there were several marches. There were marches every day, as I recall. And every time we got to a certain point, there was resistance, you know, by white people who did not want us, quote, invading, unquote, their neighborhoods.
So, Fred, people might want to know, were these marches just with black people, and how large were they?
Oh, no, they were not just solely black folks. During that period of time, as you recall, Earl, integration was starting to proliferate. We always had the opportunity to coalesce with like-minded white people.
Right.
There weren't a lot of them, but there were some. And as a result, we did have white marchers. And again, I have to give the church at that time credit, because Father Grappi was the leader. You know, think about this. You know, we had a white priest who was leading the black struggle.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
And as a result, you know, there were other priests, Lutheran priests, Catholic priests in other cities that were doing the same thing. So that's what focused the attention of the world, really, on the city of Milwaukee. that you had this white priest who was leading these black folks on marches across the viaduct to City Hall and downtown Milwaukee. And as a result, Milwaukee became an epicenter of the struggle.
So Fred,
and the attention was being brought to bear, you know, on the conditions in the city.
So, Fred, hang on a second. Let's go to the phone lines and Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, good morning, Andy. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I moved to Milwaukee in 65 from my hometown, and everything you're describing is right. The Father Grappi would lead every day a group of African-Americans and other people over the 16th Viaduct Bridge over the Menominee River Valley into the Polish, what used to be the Polish section of Milwaukee. And of course, these guys over there, the white guys, they'd be waiting for him, and they would, this was a peaceful demonstration. But a lot of times those guys would, throw rocks at him or just, they'd really get mad, you know, at the demonstrators and get them crazy. As far as Breyer was concerned, you know, cops in the mid-60s always looked like, you know, they'd have the hats and all that stuff. Though that everything crescendoed by 67 after the riots, when they closed the city down, all of a sudden the cops are wearing helmets and riot gear, and they'd open up the doors of their police cars, and they'd have shotguns stuck in a holster in the door. I mean, they were totally armed, you know, ready, hell-bent for whatever would come their way, you know. And like you said, Breyer would rule with an iron hand. He was the guy, you know. I mean, I don't think he had a whole lot of use for the African-American community, you know. He was a hardliner, you know. But it was definitely a time of change and revolution and whatever, and everybody, you know, wanted to be able to, you know, live wherever they wanted to go. They wanted to be kept to one sector of the city, you know.
Hey Andy,
that would be my observation.
Hey Andy, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Fred?
The result, it was very exciting for a young person like myself, because I was becoming aware of who I was as a black person. I was reading, and I remember vividly that when I joined the NAACP Youth Council, and, you know, some of my friends, a lot of my friends were also involved, the marches were a major thing. It was being covered by, you know, the networks, because as we were talking the other day, there were only three television networks in existence at that time. So, as a result, you had a lot of attention being brought to bear on the city of Milwaukee, because at that time, Earl, as you know, the city of Milwaukee was, you know, it was a Polish-German populated city,
right,
with a very small African-American community. Black folks came to Milwaukee after the Great Migration in the late 50s. So it was one of the last cities to have an influx of African-American folks from the South to come up for the jobs, because at that time there were many, many jobs that were available to people. So as the caller was saying, the white folks would throw rocks and bricks and epithets at us and would charge us when we marched across the viaduct. So it's funny now, because they would literally run us back across the viaduct to Wisconsin Avenue.
So, Fred, because we unfortunately, we got to go to a break again quickly. But one would probably ask, what were the police doing during this time? Were they protecting the people coming across the viaduct who were enforcing their constitutional rights?
Oh, that's a whole other discussion that we'll have after the break.
Okay. All right, hang on. 844-967-2789. Attorney Fred Gordon's on the line. We'll be right back.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Lincoln High School Theater and Music Departments present Nickelodeon's The SpongeBob Musical. Performances will be taking place Thursday, April 27th at 6:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, April 28th and 29th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, April 30th at 2 p.m. All performances will be at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids. Tickets are $15. Students with ID, $10. The Run the Rapids 5K Run Walk for Child Abuse Prevention will be happening Saturday, April 29th at 9 a.m. in Wisconsin Rapids at the Centralia Center. Registration for the event can be found on runtherapids.itsyourrace.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Pop a top and join the fun. Donate your cans today to help feed and care for the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Pet of the Week is brought to you by Express Recycling Solutions Incorporated. Dedicated to helping our community by providing many recycling services as well as drop-off locations for cans at the Southwood County Humane Society and 480 Strodeman Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids. Express Recycling Solutions, keeping our community clean and safe.
Mom used to scream about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy till Mom went to Al-Anon. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, Attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there. Because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation. A lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with the batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the Viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on. Yep. In the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yep.
And even
yep.
during that inclement weather, the people yes. continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year. Where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on because people were committed. And again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that. And because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, oh, this is newsworthy. But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different, but not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not, and were locked out of their constitutional rights. You're an attorney. Man, the fact that people, even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, girl, it's instructive of the fact that that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Elks Lodge in Wisconsin Rapids is a proud community supporter. Their motto, Elks Care, Elks Share, is evident in everything they do. From the community programs supporting families, veterans, local scouting troops, and school scholarships, to their weekly bingo nights and Friday fish fries. The Elks give back nearly $30,000 to the community each year, but they need your help. Call 715-423-1930. 715-423-1930. Elks Care and Elks Share. Become an Elk today.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place, you know, that spot that only you know about, and instead of what you came for, you found something a little different? What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Rain likely early, then becoming mixed precipitation tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 33, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. A mixture of precipitation likely tomorrow, highs around 41, overcast. Lows dip down to about 34, tomorrow night, chance for mixed precipitation. About an inch of snow tonight through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
Love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right.
long, but soon it won't happen. To find a job is like a haystack needle, 'cause where you live, they don't use colored people. Living just enough for the situation.
Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. My guest is Fred Gordon, Attorney Fred Gordon, former alderman and, you know, and friend. And we're talking about those really impressionable times, Fred, that, you know, kind of made us who we are. You know, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the fact that all people wanted to do, man, you're an attorney. All people wanted was what the nation said, you know, we had a right to. And yet the fact that people had to fight. And Fred, in many instances, as you just stated in what the commercials that the news that we heard before we got back on the air, that there are people right now still fighting, still attempting to prevent citizens of this nation who fought, bled, and died for it to have equal and fair opportunities and representation in this country.
Yeah, I think that what you're seeing in Florida and other states around the critical race theory debate and the suppression of the opportunity to teach and have discourse, intelligent discourse, you know, about America's past is reflective of what we were marching for and what we were fighting for. And there's a slogan that Howard Fuller used to use, and I use it myself, called Aluta Continua. It's the struggle continues. And I think that that's the way it's going to be, certainly for, you know, the rest of our lives, because, you know, we're getting older, and the young people who are now in the vanguard of, you know, dealing with these direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight, because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s, are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be, as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children, to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances, we've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyre Nichols
right
in Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squad back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Fred.
The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In this state, in the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail, and you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes, you know.
Yes, that started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going north, going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So, Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No.
You know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that people are afraid in the state, you know, of black people. But Fred, why? I mean, what have black people done in the state of Wisconsin to impact and affect whites across the state? Do you know of any situations where we've gone into these different areas, segregated areas of the state, and pounced upon white people, raped white women, or you know, robbed?
No, that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. And as a result, the fear mongering that has existed throughout this country's history is still being perpetrated in many respects. You know, as I spoke about the critical race theory controversy, you know, that's a symptom of that. Why would you not want to teach people about history and not include what happened to people of color in this country? And now you want to spare white people's feelings, white children's feelings, because, Earl, the controversy is so ridiculous. The courses that are being offered at the college level, because I don't know about you, but I really learned about history, about our history, you know, when I went to college.
So, Fred, hang on.
I was in high school, man, we never studied history.
So let's bring some.
We never studied slavery.
Fred, let's bring some callers on quickly. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Fred, I am very much enjoying your commentary today. There are two points that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one, I agree with you about the African-Americans studies class. I did not get that information on the history of my ancestors until I enrolled in a course in college and also in graduate school. However, I think what the media is doing, they're not disclosing the full information about the course. DeSantis, he is a bigot, in my personal opinion. However, the course developers, they did not follow the instructions about what the state had wanted for the course. They wanted an African-American history class, not an African-American studies class. So some of the units that they were offering, it really did not meet the standards. I'm a professor. Whenever I design a course, I have to abide by the program and the course objectives, and the individuals who wrote the course, they really didn't do that. My second point that I want to ask you is, if you've been following the migrant protest movement in New York, and here is something that concerns me as an African-American female. The migrants who are out there protesting in New York because they do not want to move into what they feel are inferior accommodations, those migrants, they have that right to protest because our ancestors in the civil rights movement fought for their ability to exercise their free voice. Now, as African Americans, we are not getting involved in the immigration argument, and it is having an impact, especially on black males in employment in construction and the other trades. And so I just like to get your point of view, and I'm going to listen off the air because I have to get ready for work, but very much enjoying your commentary.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Fred, hang on. We've got to go to a break, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Skyscraper and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Flick. Huh? Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, bro.
Hey, look here. Run this car speed for me right quick, okay? Run this car speed for me.
Hey. What? Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell, nigga.
God. No.
His hair is long. His feet are hard and threading.
Jammers Bar & Grill is looking to add to their team. Jammers Bar & Grill has openings for bartenders. They're excited to bring someone new to the Jammers team and are offering good wages with great tips in a friendly atmosphere. Yes, they'd like a little experience, but they're also open to training. Stop into Jammers today to pick up an application and meet some of the team. Jammers Bar & Grill, 2810 Eagle Road, Wisconsin Rapids.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Attorney Fred Gordon's on the line. Fred, you want to respond to Cassandra?
And thank her for her comments. The immigration issue is a very important issue because even though as black folk we're not necessarily involved in it to the extent that others may be, we clearly understand its import. And here in North Carolina, where I live, it's a major issue because immigrants and Latin folks from other countries have come to North Carolina, and they're doing the jobs that black folk used to do. And that's something that certainly should spur, you know, some conversation. Because it certainly is talked about here, and it's very apparent. I've noticed that I've lived now for 8 years, and it's one of the first things that I noticed when I moved here. And that is something that obviously is going to be debated and dealt with on the border. But those folks are moving throughout the South, and, you know, they're taking the jobs and they're doing the kind of work that black folk used to do, but don't do anymore. And, of course, they're doing it for less money in many respects. But, you know, for them, coming from where they came from, it's a major move up. So it's something that we should pay attention to because I think that there's a lot of similarity between how they're being oppressed and how we're being oppressed.
You know, Fred, she also talked about the CRT, and you mentioned something about that earlier.
Yes.
Now, she's a professor, and
I believe I know her. I recognized her voice.
Okay. So, but
yeah, no. What's happening with the CRT, man? It's incredible.
Yeah,
I was listening to D.L. Hughley last night, and he made a statement about the fact that white folks are now trying to prevent us from learning about our history, when in the 50s, before Brown versus the Board of Education, they didn't want us to learn anything. So you see the dichotomy that's taken place just in a, like we were saying earlier, in a relatively short period of time.
You know, Fred, and the fact that it's acceptable. Let's do this. Let's bring Tom from L.A. Tom, quickly.
Bob, I want to say this conversation is excellent. I didn't realize, being someone that was from the northwestern part of Wisconsin, that there was an actual kind of movement to not allow black people actually to move up into the northern part of Wisconsin. I think that people sometimes in Wisconsin think because, they love the Green Bay Packers and most of those guys are black, that means that they're not racist. Whereas if they had a family that was moving from Milwaukee into their small little rural area, maybe it would have an issue. I don't know. It seems to me that there need to be more more people from Milwaukee and maybe more black people need to move into these areas. So therefore, people will actually, not fear out of some tripped up stereotype or some type of crazy ideas that they have. But it's the fear that's holding them back. And I think we do need to integrate by actually, getting more people, seeing other than just the Green Bay Packers on their Sunday, black people in the upper part of the Midwest and in the upper part of the northwestern part of Wisconsin.
Hey, Tom, man. Thank you very much for the call. Fred?
I think he's right in the sense that the perception of how we as citizens interact with each other is certainly buttressed by what we see and what we hear through the media. And, shows like this, forums, anything that we can do to educate each other, because it's not just black folks trying to educate white people. It's black folks educating black folks.
Yes.
It's black folks educating Latin people and vice versa. Education is the key, because knowledge is power, as the saying goes. And before you can get power, you have to know what power is.
So let's do this. So, Fred, I'm going to be reaching out to you again because there's so much more dialogue for us to have, man. I want to thank you very much for taking out the time. But I'm going to be reaching out again. We're just beginning the month, and I need to have your voice heard more. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, always a pleasure, brother. We only have 26 days, yeah. 27 days.
But we're going to use them well. Thank you very much, man.
We got to use them. We got to use them.
All right, got to run.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll be back.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back.
Hey, Earl, do you hear me?
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival.